Destiny 2's story is getting interesting. A new Aladdin trailer is out and the internet has finally calmed down. And also, are remakes a thing we should do or not? We're going to talk about all that today. My name is Josh and this is Ready Player 3. I am completely unashamed in the fact that I have been playing Destiny since Destiny 1 launched. Really, since Destiny 1 was in beta. Was there if there was an alpha, I played that too, but I don't remember if there was or not. I know I played a beta. So back in the day, I was doing YouTube pretty heavily. I won a contest with Sony and ended up going to Bungie headquarters while I was at PAX Prime a couple of years ago before Destiny 1 launched. At the time, I knew very little about Destiny other than Bungie was doing it, and Bungie was the company that had made Halo, which is a game that I played a lot growing up because it was kind of the shooter that everybody got together and played. So I played it a lot, even though I didn't own an Xbox. So I was excited, but I wasn't, I was excited, but I wasn't like over the moon about Destiny. While I was at Bungie headquarters, they told us a bunch of things about the game that got me really excited about what Destiny 1 could be. This is, guys, before gameplay was even out there to see. I mean, it was really early stages. Like, there was not a lot that they had released. We saw a trailer. They told us a little bit about the idea. Yeah, so I was excited. I mean, there was a possibility that this stuff was going to be, like, really cool. And for someone who came out of the MMO genre, especially, I was really heavy into WoW at the time and other MMOs, like, I think mainly WoW was out. Later, I would get into the Old Republic, but I don't think that had come out yet. I can't remember the timeline. But yeah, I was super into MMOs, and so the idea of a looter shooter that was like an MMO-like experience seemed really exciting to me. I'll be honest, Destiny 1 was good, but it did not check the boxes of an MMO the way that I wanted it to. And I, to this day, think it is because Bungie never wanted to embrace that the game was actually an MMORPG that was disguised as a shooter. They never really wanted to actually say that. And that it felt like, in a lot of ways, they went a long way to avoid the term, avoid the idea. And I think, and I've talked about this before in a previous podcast I've done, I think, and if not on that podcast, on my YouTube channel, I think the reason was is that they were afraid they couldn't deliver on what an MMO needed to have. And this is what I mean by that. WoW, World of Warcraft, is obviously the largest MMO. It's still out there. It has been going for forever, and it is going to go for a really long time. I'm convinced until Blizzard does something else. But I you know, it's the gold standard. And the problem with it being the gold standard is that no game can really compete with the amount of content that is in World of Warcraft. It's the reason I think that games like Star Wars The Old Republic didn't survive the way, I mean, it's still, that game's still around, you could play it. But the reason it didn't stay a subscription-based RPG thing is because there was no way for it to have the, like, the amount of content that World of Warcraft has, because it's new. It's brand new, and so you're building that content. And I think people forget, and I don't know why, because World of Warcraft has gone through many iterations, and it has made a lot of changes. And so over time, the game has grown and changed and been more fleshed out, and your in-game content is based on years and years and years of people playing and doing things. And so games like that, I think, have a rough go of it because they're being compared to World of Warcraft. And I think that's why Destiny tried to avoid the MMO moniker, because they didn't want to have to deal with that. Unfortunately, anyone who plays the game can tell that the intent was to be MMO-like. You know, that is obvious. The gear drops, some of them random. The idea of grinding high-level in-game content to get the higher, better gear, like that, all of that is MMORPG territory. And the idea of some sort of persistent world, obviously, again, MMORPG territory. You know, it handles like a shooter, but a lot of people I know that just love shooters don't like it. Anyway, that's a long rant about all of that. But basically, I thought the game was good. I enjoyed it. I played it all through Destiny 1. I think maybe there were a couple of times I took some breaks through some content droughts, but that's to be expected. And especially in a growing MMO, because I call it that and will continue to. But I played all through Destiny 1. And then when Destiny 2 was coming out, I was excited. I was ready for it. I mean, I stayed through the first iteration and was like, yeah, I'm going to play Destiny 2. Destiny 2 fixed a lot of problems that Destiny 1 had. I definitely thought it was an upgrade to the idea. You know, I wish at the time, you know, we were locked with Activision. And I wish that maybe we hadn't had to do Destiny 2, but we could have just done... I mean, I know why we did, because you had a new console generation come out. Well, not new, but like you had one console generation essentially die, and you were bringing it up to all next-gen consoles. I get that. I understand the two, you know, thing. But, I'm not sure it couldn't have been done with an expansion, but I guess it must not have been able to, because there was a lot of, you know, updates to certain things. So I guess I get that. But Destiny 2 was great. I thought the story was good. The initial story was very interesting. The idea of one of the enemy types coming and trying to steal the light from Guardians. Really interesting stuff. And I'm not super into the lore. I mean, I am, but like I couldn't quote you a lot of it, because there's a lot of it. And unfortunately, and I'll give you this, it's all hidden behind stuff. So, Destiny 2, good. Destiny 2, Forsaken, fantastic. I'm not going to spoil that story for you if you haven't played it, but it is very interesting, very well done. Brought some feeling back, feeling of like, I need to do this because I have to do something in the story. That was really interesting and really good, because a lot of times the story is secondary to me with Destiny, because I'm really just about playing with friends and getting the gear and all that stuff. The Black Armory upgrade, which was part of the annual pass deal, which frustratingly so, you had to buy an annual pass that was pretty expensive to get access to it. Black Armory was kind of rough, because when it first launched, there was no way for you to hit that in-game content because you hadn't hit the new level cap. And so it was like, we paid for this thing and we can't have access to it for several weeks, even though it's in the game, but we're not a light level that's enough to do it. That was frustrating. And I think they saw that and they remedied that with Season of the Drifter. And this is where I want to talk more about is Season of the Drifter, specifically, and what I think Destiny might be doing interesting with the game now that we have a little background on the road that got us here. With Destiny 2 Forsaken, we were introduced to a game mode called Gambit. In Gambit, a character named the Drifter showed up at the tower, pulling some weird artifact behind his ship, and he instituted this new PvP PvE combo called Gambit. I am not a PvP player very much, and so things like Crucible doesn't really speak to me. I'll play it, but I hate Iron Banner. It's the worst to me, and that's not my deal. And so they introduced this game called Gambit, and basically the idea is you go into the game world, you kill enemies, regular game enemies that are whatever type of enemies are in the game. So Cabal sometimes, Fallen sometimes, Vex sometimes, and you defeat these enemies. Then they drop these motes, and you put these motes in a tank, and when that tank gets full of motes, it sends an enemy to the other side, to your enemy's side of the field, that they have to deal with. Different sizes according to how many motes you bank, and the enemies that you drop are taken enemies. And if you're not into the story of Destiny, some of that won't make any sense, but basically taken enemies are they were taken from other races, so Cabal, Vex, Fallen. They were corrupted by this guy named Oryx, and who is this enemy that you fought in one of the earlier raids. And he converted these enemies into what we call Taken. And so they look similar to the other enemies, but they have this weird black and white glowiness to them that they're corrupted. And so those are the enemies that you're dropping. And so on the lore side of things, what I understand is the Drifter somehow, some way, has secured a pocket of the plane where these Taken creatures live and is now dropping them into this arena for a game that he has created. The motes that you're putting into this tank, I think, are motes of darkness. And so if you haven't played Destiny, you might not know, but basically all the characters are that you play have something called the Light, which they're able to use to wield these powers to defeat these enemies. So what it became apparent was happening is that the Drifter was allowing Guardians to play around with light and dark and utilize that to play this game mode. And maybe I was naive, and maybe this, I don't know. But I just like, oh, cool, a new game mode. I really didn't think about the repercussions of of what it was happening, because I treated it as, oh, here's a new game mode. They're just giving us a new game mode. But I see through the story now that they were trying to flesh out this bigger thing. And so Season of the Drifter just started, and basically, I'm not that far into the storyline, but basically, you have to decide whether you're going to side with the Drifter or whether you're going to side with the Vanguard. And so the Vanguard has been sending you messages. By the way, the first time the post office has actually been used to send messages. And you get these messages from a warlock who's trying to explain to you that the Drifter should not be trusted. And when you hover over the Drifter, it says Rogue Lightbearer, which means that he does have light like you do, but he is not using that light to be a guardian per se. He also, just looking at him, does not look to be representing a particular class, so he doesn't look like a warlock or a hunter or a titan. He just looks like a dude, which is interesting to me and brings up some ideas that I am wondering if they might happen. That's what we're going to talk about today more than anything. But that's where we stand right now. You start doing missions, you decide whether you want to side with him or whether you want to side with the Vanguard. And from there, the story is supposed to evolve and move you in different directions. And it's got me so excited for possibilities. And I always want to temper those, because you just never know. Games will let you down, and sometimes our imagination is better than what a game company is going to do. But here's what I'm hoping for. The idea of light and dark and these very, very extreme cases have always been interesting to me in games, because I kind of wish sometimes it wasn't always that. Or if there wasn't, like, why can't there be like a middle ground? Why can't there be an in-between? It's one of the things I hope we're working towards with Star Wars, is like some sort of not light, not dark Jedi. That's what I'm hoping, like a gray Jedi, so to speak. And I'm wondering if Destiny is working us either in that direction, or there's some sort of middle ground where you can be both light and dark, or some mixture of the two. Or maybe, just maybe, Destiny is working us towards a light and a dark, or a good and a not so good sort of faction or alliance sort of thing. It reminds me, of course, you know, this goes back to the fact that the game is an MMO to me. The idea of there being alliance or horde in WoW, I wonder if something like that could work in Destiny. Like maybe, just maybe. Because this looks like it could be a big story event. And so what if the Vanguard gets so annoyed with the people that are working for the Drifter that are becoming rogue light bearers that they kick them out of the tower, and you have to create a whole new social hub for the people that have sided with the Drifter, and now you have two alliances? Is that something we could be working towards into Destiny 3? That could, which by the way, is now Bungie has full control of the game. This is a game that exists only under Bungie's control. And so you just wonder, and it's exciting to see a story event that could be pushing the game into new territory. Again, it could not be. This whole thing could be rectified at the end of Season of the Drifter. I have no idea, but the possibility that we could be moving into a different season of Destiny and a different type of Destiny game where it's not just the light versus the dark, but maybe there's some other side you can take. That's interesting. And the fact that we have now branching storylines and effects that happen based on a decision that you make, that's wild, and that's where Destiny should have been, and I'm very excited. And I know that it's hidden behind the annual pass, but if you play Destiny and you don't have the annual pass yet, Black Armory, not worth it. Season of the Drifter, so far, I'm intrigued. I'm not deep enough to tell you if it's worth it, but I am intrigued by the possibilities that Bungie is putting out there. So the new Aladdin trailer dropped yesterday. Now, at the point of this recording, it dropped yesterday. And people are feeling better about it, I think. It kind of makes me laugh. And I want to be careful because I talked a lot of crap about reviewing movies negatively when you haven't seen them. And I sort of feel the same way about reviewing things positively when you haven't seen them. But what I can say is this. I think a lot of people around the internet, from what I saw, are a little more interested in seeing this movie now that we've seen more. It's kind of like I said, I mean, we saw a very tiny glimpse of Will Smith as the genie in that one little teaser. Now we have seen more. This trailer looks more like what you expect Aladdin to look like. And you know, I grew up on Disney movies. They all mean like a lot to me. And so one of the things that means a lot to me is the songs. I mean, anyone who watches Disney movies, you know, those songs stick with you. And so I was always interested to see, you know, how much of the music is going to be there. And we still don't really know that. But we do know at least two of the songs seem to be making their way into the film. And that is A Whole New World and Friend Like Me. Those look like they're both there. Is that song called Friend Like Me or You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me? I don't know. That's a lot of words. But anyway, the song the genie sings when he meets Aladdin. We also get some more look at Will Smith as the genie. And I think it looks pretty good. The blue is better, I think. You know, one of the things about CG is sometimes we see an unfinished product in a teaser or in a trailer, and so really you don't even know until the movie comes out, because they can always change that stuff, and they're always having to put out something half finished for trailers and stuff like that. So it looks good. I'm excited, and it seems like the internet has calmed down a little bit, which just goes to the point, like, just wait and see how things go. You don't have to have a knee-jerk reaction to everything. I know the internet causes us to want to do that, but we don't have to. We don't have to respond so viciously for a couple of seconds of video footage. That's a little ridiculous, but it does bring up this point. The Aladdin remake in general, Disney is making a lot of remakes, a lot of live action remakes, and there's a conversation being had about whether or not they should. I want to be upfront. I'm kind of a Disney glutton, and so I will accept any remake, especially of movies that were important to my childhood. I was excited for Beauty and the Beast when it came out, and it was good. And I'm excited about Aladdin, and it looks like it might be better. And here's why I think it may be better. And I could be totally wrong, because this movie's not out yet. But on the front end, the art and like the set design and the costume design to me looks a lot more faithful to Aladdin. I know that in Aladdin, you know, you had the costumes, the iconic costumes of Belle and the Beast when they're dancing. Those were fit, you know, they were versions of what was in the original film, and that was fine. And Belle typically looked similar to the way she looked in the cartoon with her costumes and things like that. What really threw me off about Beauty and the Beast, if I'm honest, is all of the servants in the castle. Just their art design was not, I didn't enjoy it fully. And so that, I think that is what threw me, which maybe there wasn't a way around that, because you don't want to design them exactly like the originals. But I wasn't a huge fan, but I enjoyed the movie. This movie looks like, from what I can tell, that it's going to be Maybe closer to the original as far as kind of art. I mean, especially you look at Genie and how he looks when he's blue. It's a lot more similar. But what I think and what I hope is that Disney will do this as they move forward. It looks like, you know, similarities where they need to be and uniqueness where it can be. And I think that's one of the things Beauty and the Beast did not do very well. It was not very unique. It pretty much was, hey, here's Beauty and the Beast, and it's live action. And this movie, because it doesn't have Robin Williams, it is looking to be, hey, here's Aladdin. It is very similar to the Aladdin that you know and love, but also here's a new take on Genie. And obviously, Will Smith can't be Robin Williams. And so it looks like from the trailer, they're going to lean into Will Smith's kind of humor, which is interesting. You know, I think, you know, I think of actors that could play Genie, and I really can't think of many that would have the kind of goofiness to pull off a character like that. So I'm interested to see him. I'm worried about other Disney remakes like Lion King, because James Earl Jones is going to be Mufasa. And while I don't want anyone to be Mufasa that's not James Earl Jones, I worry that maybe that'll mean that it's kind of like Beauty and the Beast, where it's, hey, here's the same movie but live action, even though that's going to be, you know, a lot of CG with animals and stuff. So that's my worry. I'm not one of these people that's like, don't remake anything that I love. That is not me. I love having both. I've watched both Beauty and the Beasts. I will probably watch both Aladdins. I'll definitely watch both Lion Kings. A Jungle Book. Can't even forget Jungle Book. I'll watch all of that because I enjoy the characters, I enjoy the stories, I enjoy the music. But I know that there are people that freak out. I'm not one of those. But I will say this, I am wary of the idea that, are we remaking just to remake? Or are we remaking because we have something interesting to bring to the original? I think Will Smith's Genie has the potential to be that. Has the potential to be something new on top of something that we know very well. Last thing I'm going to say about Aladdin, I'm a little worried about Jafar. He does not seem intimidating or scary. And maybe, just maybe, Disney is working this, like, he really looks like a normal dude until he's not, sort of angle. And that would be awesome. Because, you know, Jafar kind of always looks intimidating. And you have reason to be skeptical of him all through the animated film. So it would be interesting to see a Jafar that you kind of think is normal, but just maybe a little weird, and then turns super evil. I would love to see that. There's a hint of that in the trailer, maybe. But we won't know until the movie comes out, and so I really can't attest to that. But I'm excited about it. I really am. I'm going to go see it. I hope they do it well, and I hope that maybe they've learned from some of, I want to say mistakes, but maybe they've learned from some of the other movies they've put out and done live-action remakes, exactly what they can do to make them better. Because they are playing with people's childhoods. I get that. So I hope that they will respect it, and I hope that they will do a good job with it. And I, for one, will go see any remake that they make. All right, guys, that's all the time we have today. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging in there. If you're a Destiny player, let me know. Are you excited about the changes that are coming, the Season of the Drifter, etc.? If you're a Disney fan, and who's not, let me know how you're feeling about the remakes. And you're probably thinking, how do we do that, Josh? How do we reach out to you? Well, you can reach out to me through the Anchor app. I've told you that before. But also, we have now an email account that you can send email to talk about the show, to suggest things you would like to talk about, just to reach out. And that email is readyplayer3cast@gmail.com. That's readyplayer3cast@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing from you. And if you can't tell, I'm getting sick again. Good Lord. So maybe I'll be good for next week. Hopefully I will. Hopefully I can survive without hacking up a lung or not being able to breathe. But I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.